From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id. Hello listener, how are you? I'm Stefanus, will be in here with you for the next 60 minutes. We will present various programs for you, like the news, commentary, light info, and also pop songs from Indonesia. And listener, we will have first the news, so stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on the frequencies of 3325 kHz and voanews.id.
Here is the news, watch the headlines. Bapara said government agrees to accelerate economic recovery and social reforms in 2021. Indonesian embassy in New Delhi facilitates repatriation of 24 Indonesian citizens to Indonesia. Now the news in details. The Indonesian Ministry of National Development Planning or National Development Planning Agency Bappenas held a webinar road to Indonesia Development Forum 2021 theme Prospects of Economic Recovery Through Industrial Revitalization in Jakarta on Wednesday. This webinar is one of a series of events ahead of the Indonesian Development Forum 2021, an annual event as a forum. Development actors in the public, private, and non-profit sector can exchange ideas and innovation that can be useful as a foundation in developing the national development policies. Deputy Minister for Economic Affairs of the Ministry, Bambang Priambodo, said in his presentation that the Indonesian government has agreed to accelerate the economic recovery and social reform in 2021.
Tahun 2021, pemerintah sepakat untuk berkeinginan dan akan berupaya.
In 2021, the government agreed to desire and will try first to accelerate economic recovery and at the same time, the social reform time. This social reform will cover the health system, education system, disaster resilience, and others. And the economic reform of the economic recovery will cover three things in the short term. The first is industry, the second is investment, and the third is tourism. There are the three motors that we will move. There will be important concerns in the acceleration of recovery in 2021. Bambang Priambodo further stated that for tourism, the Indonesian government will restore the acceleration of development in 5 priority destinations, and later it will be followed by 5 other priority destinations. As for investment, he added, the government will make every effort to make investment as an economic motor, which has slowed slightly in the second quarter of 2020. Bambang Priambodo also remarked that the government will encourage more job creation, especially by capturing investment relocation or industrial relocation from developed countries to Indonesia. By doing so, Bambang Priambodo hopes the economic growth can grow larger or equal to the gross domestic product's GDP of 4.5 to 5.5% and industry will grow 4.7%. The Indonesian Embassy in New Delhi, India has again successfully implemented a self-initiated repatriation program for Indonesian citizens detained in India. Only 4 days after the fourth phase of repatriation program on July 23rd on Tuesday, the Indonesian Embassy in New Delhi has successfully implemented the self-initiated repatriation program for the fifth time. A release from the Indonesian Embassy in New Delhi received by Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday said that 24 Indonesian citizens were registered in the fifth phase of self-initiated repatriation program. Speaking to Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Wednesday, the Counselor of the Sociocultural Information of the Indonesian Embassy in New Delhi, Irfan Fakhrizal, as the field coordinator of the repatriation program, said that the Indonesian Embassy continuously makes efforts to protect Indonesian citizens detained in India due to the lockdown policy by the local government because of the COVID-19 outbreak since March 24, 2020.
KBRI akan terus melakukan tugas perlindungan dengan
the Indonesian embassy will continuously carry out the protection task by identifying detained Indonesian citizens in all states in India so that they can return to Indonesia through a similar program. Referring to the experience of repatriation several times earlier, inshallah, in the future it will be even better, and we hope that Indonesian citizens can soon gather with their beloved families in the country. Of course, that becomes the spirit for us in carrying out the task of making every repatriation program a success. This repatriation program used Garuda Indonesia flight on the Delhi to Medan Jakarta route and it arrived in Jakarta on July 28, 2020. Of the 24 Indonesians, one of them is a student, 21 religious pilgrims, and 2 tourists. They came from the states of Haryana, Punjab, and Karnataka. Like the repatriation that has been done before, the Indonesian embassy in New Delhi facilitates the Indonesian citizens with a travel permit to be used when continuing to travel to their respective regions in Indonesia, a certificate of the COVID-19 test, and a complete personal protection equipment for their smooth and secure arrival in Indonesia. Until now, the number of citizens who have been successfully repatriated from India is 419 people from the Indonesian embassy in New Delhi and from the Indonesian Consulate General of Mumbai. Indonesia and New Zealand set an ambitious 40 trillion rupiah target for bilateral trade by 2024 amid the COVID-19 pandemic. As quoted by Taranus Agency Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi, after holding a virtual joint commission meeting GCM with her counterpart from New Zealand, Winston Peters, on Wednesday, emphasized that it is not easy to achieve this target amid the situation. The government must work extra hard and keenly witness a more balanced trade. Indonesia is especially upbeat about New Zealand simplifying the import health standards as a prerequisite for exporting fruits to the country. In 2019, Indonesia's export to New Zealand had risen to $745.33 million, up 11%, while the value of imports plunged to $772.19 million. This news comes to you from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Let's move it on to the international news. Muslim pilgrims wearing face masks and moving in small groups after days in isolation began arriving in Mecca on Wednesday for the start of a historically unique and scaled-down Hajj experience reshaped by the coronavirus pandemic. As quoted by APNews.com, the Hajj is one of the Islam's most important requirements performed once in a lifetime. It follows a route to Prophet Muhammad walked nearly 1,400 years ago and is believed to ultimately trace the footsteps of the prophets Ibrahim and Ismail, or Abraham and Ishmael, as they are named in the Bible. The Hajj, both physically and spiritually demanding, is intended to bring about greater humility and unity among Muslims. With the Tokyo Olympics postponed for a year because of the coronavirus pandemic, the Associated Press is looking back at the history of Summer Games. Here are some of the highlights of the 1928 Games in Amsterdam, the first time women were allowed to compete in gymnastics and athletics at an Olympics. As quoted by APNews.com, Simone Biles, Mary Lou Retton, and Nadia Comaneci in gymnastics, Alison Felix, Florence Griffith Joyner, and Wilma Rudolph in track and field all Olympic superstars. Until the 1928 Amsterdam Games, though they wouldn't have been allowed to compete, female athletes joined the Olympic program in certain sports, such as tennis and golf, in 1900, and they were awarded medals in swimming in 1912, but it wasn't until nearly 3 decades later that they could participate in what have become marked events. U.S. President Donald Trump has again defended the use of hydrochloroquine to ward off coronavirus, contradicting his own public health officials. As quoted by BBC.com, he said the malaria medication was only rejected as a COVID-19 treatment because he had recommended its use. His remarks came after Twitter banned his eldest son for posting a clip promoting hydrochloroquine. There is no evidence that the drug can fight the virus, and regulators warn it may cause heart problems. On Wednesday, Dr. Anthony Fauci, a leading member of the White House Coronavirus Task Force, told the BBC that hydrochloroquine was not effective against the virus. Hong Kong's hospital system could face collapse as it grapples with a sharp rise in coronavirus cases. This was warned by Hong Kong leaders Carrie Lam, as quoted by BBC.com. She said that her city was on the verge of a large-scale community outbreak and urged people to stay indoors. New regulations, including mandatory face masks and the closures of dine-in restaurants, kicked in on Wednesday. Hong Kong, which had early success against COVID-19, is now regularly reporting over 100 new daily cases. Less than a month ago, the average number of new daily cases was under 10. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kosmawati. Thank you for listening.
Listener, here is today's commentary. Friday, July 31st, 2020. Muslims across the globe celebrated Eid al-Adha, or the Day of Sacrifice, 1441 Hijri. Normally, Eid al-Adha is marked by Hajj pilgrimage in Mecca and Medina in Saudi Arabia by Muslims from various countries. But now, the Hajj is different. During COVID-19 pandemic, Saudi Arabia government allowed only Saudi Arabian citizens and expatriates who had stayed in Saudi Arabia to join the Hajj. That certainly aims to cut the spread of COVID-19. Related to Hajj limitation by Saudi Arabia, Indonesian government decided to cancel the Hajj pilgrim departure to Mecca in 2020. Besides that, the government and Indonesian Ulama Council MUI issued protocol for Eid prayer and sacrifice animal slaughter to prevent a new COVID-19 cluster. Until this commentary is made, Indonesia has surpassed 104,000 positive cases, with death almost touching 5,000. Sacrifice animal slaughter must be done without mass gathering. Many people became poor and people's purchasing power decreased because of the sluggish economy during the pandemic. So, the distribution of sacrificed animal meat to people is very right, because many people need it. Hajj pilgrimage and animal sacrifice during Eid al-Adha were sincere worship for the God, as done by Prophet Ibrahim and his daily spiritual experience. Sacrificing the best animal and sincerely not doing Hajj pilgrimage to the holy city of Mecca during pandemic for the people are also forms of devotion and piety to the Almighty Creator, who is all-merciful and all-loving. Based on records, Holy Land's government had banned Hajj pilgrimage because of the cholera and leprosy. According to Indonesian Ulama Council, the fatwa on prayers and sacrifice animal slaughter amid COVID-19, Indonesians were expected to do the prayer according to Sharia and to avoid coronavirus spread potential. More importantly, they were asked to be more disciplined to obey the health protocol, so the positive case will not increase. People's discipline in the new normal is the main key to reduce COVID-19 spread and to mitigate its impact. And listener, that was today's commentary.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, here is Today in History. In our regular program, Today in History, we start from an event on July 30, 1920, when the world's first jamboree was held. The world's first scout jamboree held a meeting in Olympia, London, England, from July 30 until August 8, 1920. Around 8,000 scout boys and girls from 34 countries attended the meeting. One of the activities was that the participants recognized Baden-Powell as founder of the scout, and also recognized Baden-Powell as the leaders of the world's scout. The next event is that in 1930, the first final of FIFA World Cup was held. FIFA World Cup 1930 was the first FIFA World Cup, the world championships for the national male football team. The championship was held in Uruguay from July 13 until 30, 1930.
Then the team consisted of 13 countries, on which 7 of them were from South America, 4 from Europe, and 2 from North America. They participated in the tournament. Argentina, Uruguay, the United States of America, and Yugoslavia were able to move the semi-final. In the final, the host Uruguay defeated Argentina 4-2 and became the first country which won the World Cup. The last event is that in 1980, Vanuatu obtained its independence. Republic of Vanuatu is an archipelagic country in the southern part of Pacific Ocean. It is located at the East Australia, northeast of New Caledonia, in the west of Fiji, and the South Solomon Islands. In the past, the country was named New Hebrides during the colonial era. Vanuatu consists of 83 islands. In the 1880s, France and England claimed part of Vanuatu. An independence movement appeared in the 1970s, and the Republic of Vanuatu was established in 1980. Well, listener, that's Today in History, read by Ahmad Faisal.
Ku ingin tahu, kau harus mau. Ku ingin kau begitu, agar kau tahu, jadilah engkau milikku selalu utuh. Tanpa tersentuh, cuma aku. Bila ku mati, kau juga mati. Cinta sehidup semati, jadilah engkau milikku selalu utuh. Tanpa tersentuh, cuma aku.
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Next, we are going to present to you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia entitled, Ministry of Marine and Fisheries targets to rehabilitate 200 hectares of mangrove land in 2020. The Ministry of Marine and Fisheries is targeting rehabilitation of mangrove or mangrove forest to 200 hectares in various national coastal areas during 2020. Director General of Marine Space Management, Ministry of Marine and Fisheries, Aryo Hanggono, in a press release in Jakarta on Sunday, July 26, said that mangrove rehabilitation was carried out by planting mangroves in 12 locations. One of the priority locations is in East Lampung, with a planned planting of 40 hectares area, namely at Margasari and Sri Minosari villages. Hanggono said that the rehabilitation of mangrove plants in this location aims to ward off abrasion and enhance marine ecosystem. Moreover, the location is also expected to become an ecotourism area that can provide alternative livelihoods for coastal communities in East Lampung Regency. Until 2024, the ministry is scheduled to plant 1,800 hectares of mangrove plants. Another effort undertaken by the Ministry for Mangrove Rehabilitation is to facilitate the location of mangroves through the construction of mangrove pathways and coastal ecosystem learning restoration centers that will be built in 10 Regency cities in 2021. Meanwhile, Director of Coastal and Small Islands Utilization Ministry of Marine and Fisheries, Muhammad Yusuf, revealed that mangrove forests are the storage of abundant carbon reserves, besides as a coastal buffer system from abrasion due to waves and rising sea levels. Indonesia has 23% of the world's mangroves. Mangroves play an important role as controlling carbon in the world, besides as controlling marine ecosystems. The 200 hectares mangrove planting will be carried out in 12 locations throughout Indonesia, including in North Aceh Regency, Belitung Regency, West Pasaman Regency, and Pesisir Selatan Regency, West Sumatra Province, and East Lampung Regency, Lampung Province. In West Java Province, mangrove planting was carried out in Cirebon Regency, Rembang Regency in Central Java Province, as well as in Sampang, Probolinggo, and Lamongan Regency's East Java Province. Meanwhile, in West Kalimantan Province, mangrove planting was carried out in Mempawah Regency, and East Nusa Tenggara Province was carried out in Kupang. That was My Indonesia.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Jabat tanganku, mungkin mungkin untuk yang terakhir kali kita berbincang tentang memori di masa itu. Peluk tubuhku, usapkan juga air mataku. Kita terharu seakan tiada bertemu lagi. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari nanti. Sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita banggakan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku. Semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku. Semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Bersenang-senanglah, karena hari ini yang kan kita rindukan di hari tua. Oh, sampai jumpa kawanku. Semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Sampai jumpa kawanku. Semoga kita selalu menjadi sebuah kisah klasik untuk masa depan. Da 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 da. Mungkin diriku masih ingin bersama kalian. Mungkin jiwaku masih haus sanjungan kalian.
You are still with us in Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. Listener, next we are going to invite you to visit various places of Indonesia to know about its tourism objects or some local wisdom that we have only on Indonesian Wonder.
Welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I'm going to let you know about Bedolop tradition. Listener, Dayak is one of indigenous tribes in the province of Kalimantan. This tribe has many sub-tribes. One of them is the Agabak Dayak sub-tribe. The Dayak Agabak tribe inhabits the Sembakung, Sebuku, Lumbis, and part of the Bulungan district, all in the northern part of East Kalimantan. This tribe is known for its ancient traditions. The ancient tradition that is still maintained by the local people until at present is the Bedolop tradition. Bedolop is a tradition of God's court in the Agabak Dayak tribe. This unique tradition is held to solve the problems that occurred among the Agabak Dayak tribe. Bedolop court is the last step to settle disputes that occur among Agabak Dayak residents if the customary deliberations do not produce a solution for both parties. cases are settled in the Podolop tradition, such as theft, infidelity, land disputes, and murder. Before holding the Podolop tradition, the elders will usually try to settle disputes between the residents by holding a family discussion. Because to hold Podolop rituals, it takes large amount of fund to provide a ransom for the losers in carrying out the ritual. Both parties must provide a ransom, which is usually in the form of an ancient jar that costs tens to hundreds of million rupiah, or in the form of livestock such as pigs, in accordance with the agreement before the ritual begins. The lost party in Podolop must pay the ransom. To hold Podolop tradition is a prerogative rights of the traditional elders. The success or failure of implementation of Podolop ritual very depends on the traditional elders. Podolop traditions must be held in the river with certain requirements, such as wood of rambutan tree or kalambuku as a marker of the location of Podolop participants, as well as the requirements for the summoning ceremony of ancestral spirits. The summoning of ancestral spirits needs ceremonies and equipments such as yellow rice, banana heart, yellow cloth, red cloth, and kalambuku tree. In the spirit summoning ceremony, all ancestral spirits from the land and the sea are invited to witness the processions of the Podolop ritual. The purpose of this ceremony is to ask permission from God to judge the two parties. After the summoning ceremony, the two parties are then invited to come to the river as the ceremony arena. In the river, the elders have plugged in two kalambuku logs with a depth of about 75 centimeters. The kalambuku wood are not only a marker of the ceremonial area, but also a marked location for the two warring residents to dive. In the Podolop tradition, it's believed that innocent people will breathe like they normally do on land while diving in water. They will not have difficulty breathing. As for those who are guilty, it is believed they will get interference from aquatic animals and from the spirits of their ancestors. Those who are guilty can experience bleeding from the ears and nose if they persist to stay in water. Even will end in death. That was our segment of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again with another interesting topic. Goodbye.
Pada waktu hasratku dan cintaku, kaulah segalanya. Izinkan diriku bersamamu, karena sesungguhnya ku rindukan dekapanmu. Ku janjikan setia, berdua kita jalin kasih dalam satu ikatan cinta. Tuhan tolong jaga dirinya di sana, aku di sini kan menunggu hingga diriku dan dirinya indah parah. Tuhan tolong jaga dirinya di sana, aku di sini kan menunggu hingga diriku dan dirinya indah parah.
Listeners, thank you. You're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world, on 3325 kHz and voinews.id.
Welcome back in our regular segment, Miscellany. In today's edition, we present you information on Diazep, natural disinfectant made from wood vinegar. Listeners, according to the research of the World Health Organization, disinfectants with alcohol contain dangerous heavy metal compounds. Besides skin irritation and skin cancer, disinfectants can also cause lung cancer if inhaled for a long time. Though the use of disinfectants during this pandemic is so huge, viewing this condition, the Center for Research and Development of Forest Products, the Indonesian Ministry of Environment and Forestry, in cooperation with Producers Cooperative of Anugrah Bumi Hijau, or Koprabu, has created a natural disinfectant that is proven to be very safe for human health. The result of this national innovation product is that the product is branded Diazep, made from wood vinegar. This organic raw product is without using alcohol and any chemicals. Therefore, this disinfectant product is not harmful to humans or pets. Even the product can be used as animal feed and plant fertilizer. Koprabu CEO Johannes Walian explained that wood vinegar or wood acid is a liquid produced by pyrolysis or thermal decomposition of the charcoal production process with low oxygen levels. After decades of successful use of wood vinegar as a biopesticide and biofertilizer, the P3WH research conducted further research in which the wood vinegar is used to combat COVID-19. Similarly, the result of the product proved to be effective after testing, which is conducted in an environmental laboratory. Meanwhile, Professor Gustan Pari along with Ratih Damayanti and the team have conducted research in which the results of the research shows that wood vinegar has a better ability to inhibit the growth of microorganisms compared to 70% ethanol or alcohol, which has often been used as a basis for disinfectants by fosters, farmers of P3WH. Disinfectants usually contain of alcohol components such as ethyl and isopropyl alcohol. These chemicals are flammable and can cause skin infections. Alcohol exposure can also cause irritation to the respiratory tract and negatively impact the central nervous system. While the use of diazep as an outdoor and indoor disinfectant is effective in combating, COVID-19. Diazep is not harmful to humans, even if being ingested is not dangerous, but more effective than 70% alcohol. That was our segment miscellany for today. Thanks for listening.
Hidupku, maukah
Listener, you're still with us in the Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia for the world. Next, we are going to present to you the music corner, so stay tuned.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, welcome back to Music Corner. Today we will present a song entitled Kangen. The song Kangen is the work of an Indonesian music group Dewa 19, which was released in 1992. This song was considered as the most monumental work in the history of Dewa 19 band. The song tells a story of a couple lover who cannot wait to meet because they miss each other. This song is often sung in many events at school, campus, or in a number of talent competition shows in Indonesia. In 2002, two Indonesian top singers, Krisya and Sofia Lachuba, dedicated the song Kangen on the album titled Dekade. This collaboration between Krisya and Sofia Lachuba won the Emmy Award in the category of Best Pop Collaboration. Listener, let's listen to Krisya and Sofia Lachuba with the song Kangen. Enjoy the song.
berdaya.
Voice of Indonesia.
Alright, listener, it's all that we have in English program. Thank you very much for listening. but stay tuned with us in the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia for the World on 3325 kHz and voinews.id. In the meantime, do not forget to like and comment on our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, or follow and mention us at Twitter at @voiindonesia and send us email on voi@voinews.id.